Morning, Drift Run Church. Morning. Happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. You know, I thank the Lord for all you fathers. And I know the mothers have already had their day. So today's we're thanking the fathers today. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I read an article here just recently, and it said that one of the major issues with this nation is because of the lack of father figures being in the households. And I want to give it an emphatic amen to that this morning, because, you know, I did not, as most of you know my story, I was raised without a father for a long time in my life, and I didn't have that. And you know what, I thank God I could have been one of those statistics out there one of these days. It could have been something out here other than what I am today. And I praise God that I got to know my Heavenly Father one day. Because if it wasn't for that, you know, it's hard to tell where this preacher would have been out this morning. I'm just here to tell you. Thank God for all you fathers. I think of that every time we sing that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And most of you in here have heard this story before, but I like telling this again. H.G. Stafford's the one who wrote that song. And what he wrote that song, he lost a son in the Great Chicago Fire. He lost that son there. Then he had a wife and I believe it was three daughters that were going to revival service on a boat over to England one time. And as the ship sunk, he lost three of his daughters. And his wife made it to England and she said, "Only I survived." And he wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Can we say that this morning? Are we able to say that this morning? No matter what comes upon us, no matter what hits us this morning, it's easy sometimes for us to sit down and to say, "Oh, woe is me, Lord. This has happened. This has happened." Brothers and sisters, most of us in here haven't faced what some people in this life have faced, and they are already in glory, and they kept the faith. They kept and did what God wanted them to do. And I praise God this morning. You know what? It is those that endure to the end that will be saved. Praise God this morning. Praise His name. I'm going to be over in, it's not even the sermon this morning, I'm going to be over in the Song of Solomon this morning. Some is Song of Solomon, some in your Bibles it may read Song of Songs. I don't know. It'll be up on the board as well if you can't get it. But anyway, if you want to find it, it's between Ecclesiastics and in Isaiah. If you're in Isaiah, go back to your left. And if you're in Ecclesiastics, go to your right. It's right there, a little book right in between them. So that's where it's at. I'm going to the fifth chapter. I'm going to read the second through the sixth verse. Whatever you get there, if you can, if you wish to, if you want to, stand if you would. Let's read God's word together here this morning. In honor of God's word, please. "I sleep, but my heart wakeneth. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." Now look at this excuse here. I want you to look at this. "I put off my coat now. Shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand in the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, but my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with the sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved, the same one that knocked on at my door, the same one that sought me." Now, I want you to understand this. Through the night, the same one that reached through that lock, that same one had withdrawn himself and was gone. "My soul fell. When he spake, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." That should put the fear of God in anybody right there. I don't know how long God has been knocking on your heart's door. And I'm going to get to it here in a minute, but I'm here to tell you there may be a time when he's gone and he's not coming back. Let us pray. Father, as we open up the scriptures this morning, Lord, as we preach, Father, as this word goes out, I pray, Father, that the hearts, that Father, that are here this morning, I pray, Father, that you would open them up. I pray that the scripture would go out the way that you would have it to go out, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that, Lord, no matter what's said and done here this morning, that it will be for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord. I pray for the anointing upon me, Lord. Father, without the anointing, Father, it's just words. I understand that. And Father, we pray, Father, that hearts would be touched And that, Lord, if there's any here this morning that you've been knocking upon their hearts for a while, I pray, Father, today would be the day of salvation. Father, we praise you. We ask it in your Son's name, Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. I really appreciate that. Thank you. With this in mind, I wrote the title of my sermon, Ichabod. That's what the name of it is. And I'll get to that here in just a little bit. But this is mine. He's already gone. He's already gone. I've opened to my beloved. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Now, to fully comprehend what I'm talking about here, you've got to understand what gone means here, how it translates out to. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One of them owned a dress shop and one of them owned a bakery. But I don't know a whole lot about all that stuff. But I can tell you, if you go out and look at this, what that going translates out is, it means to pass over. It means to pass by. It means to leave alone. It means to vanish out of one's presence. It means to bypass, to go another way. It means to go beyond where you've already been. Brothers and sisters, the word implies that it was not only leaving, but it also implies that he was never coming back that way again. Amen. Folks, I have known folks that have sat in church and the power of God has come down upon them. The convicting power of God has come upon them. And they stood back there. They never went to that altar. They never come to that altar. And they went out of that church. And I know for years and years until they went out of this life, they never did come to know Jesus as their Savior. He can come by one time. He's only required to come by one time. And he can knock on your heart's door. And when he does that and you keep turning him away, he can be going and never come your way again. Folks, there are times when God will only pass by one time. And if he's not welcome, he's not passing by again. Amen or oh my. And how's it translated? It can happen to a church. Did you know that? It can happen to a denomination. It can happen to a nation. God can come and he can knock and he can knock and he can do all that into a nation, to a church, to a denomination. And he says, listen, I want to come in. I want to sup with you. I want to be your God. And they keep rejecting. And they keep rejecting. They keep refusing the truth. They keep refusing the spirit of truth. They keep refusing. We call it Ichabod. The glory has departed. You remember the baby that was born and they named him Ichabod because they said the glory had departed from Israel? I'm here to tell you, it could be that way. In Luke chapter 4, it says as Jesus had been tempted of the devil for 40 days. And in verse 14, it tells us, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And he went to the town where he was raised, which was Nazareth. And what did he do there? What did he do? It said that he went to the synagogue where no doubt he went to the synagogue where he had been raised, where he went to church all of his life. Jesus had went there. They knew who he was. There was his brothers and sisters that went there. There was Mary and Joseph that went there. All the people that knew him. He went to church in his hometown. Everybody knew him. And the priests of the temple gave him the word to preach. And they told him to preach. And they told him, he said, and here's what Jesus preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that a fantastic message? Isn't that an awesome message that every church, every preacher needs to preach? You know what? He said, I'm here for the captive. I'm here for the broken heart. I'm here for those that are lost and undone. I'm here for the drug addict. I'm here for the alcoholic. I'm here for those that whose lives are not quite what everybody in this world thinks they should be. Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a powerful sermon. Even the people in Luke 4:22 said this. It said, and all that bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? They all looked upon that sermon and they thought it was great. But then, like some preachers do, they go ahead and expound on the message. And that's what Jesus did. And Jesus explained, and this day the scripture is fulfilled in your eyes, it said. And listen to Luke 23 on down. Ye will surely say unto me the proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whosoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sephara, a city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias and the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saying Nahum the Syrian. And they got mad at him. What's he saying in that scripture? He's saying, listen, he said, all of Israel, all the so-called God's chosen people, they were at the time, all those chosen people, they weren't living the way that they should live, but God sent them to some Gentiles, is what he said. Praise God that Jesus died on the cross for you and I this morning, because I don't know who your heritage, your background, but I can almost guarantee you there are probably none of Jewish descent in here. If there are, you know, forgive me, but if not, we're all Gentiles. And that's who Jesus went. But they got mad at him for saying that. His family, his friends got mad. The people he'd went to church with for over 30 years got mad. And verse 28 says this, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's people, when you preach the truth out of God's word, when you preach it out of God's word, there are people that aren't going to like to hear what you've got to preach sometimes. They're not going to want to hear what the word of God, what thus saith the word of God sometimes. And they're going to get mad sometimes. What did they do? They took him out to the side of the hill with the intentions of throwing him over the hill and killing him. That's what they had the intentions of doing. Those people in his own church, the Bible goes on to say something we all should take heed of. Verse 30. But he, that's Jesus, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He went his way. And you know what? From that day until the day he died on the cross, my Bible says that he never went back there again. Do you understand that? He never went back to that synagogue again. He never went back there again to preach the word of God anymore. He had already did it. He never went back. He tried to minister to people again. Never went back to that synagogue. Never did. Brothers, when a church, when a denomination or a nation rejects the truth, I'm here to tell you, he doesn't have to go back that way again. He's been there. He's been there. He doesn't have to go back that way again. When a church or denomination gets offended by the truth, he doesn't have to go back that way again. He doesn't have to. My beloved is gone. He's gone. It's heading to a point where Jesus will pass by that church. He'll pass by that nation. He'll pass by that denomination, and Ichabod will fall on it. I've been in churches before. This is not judging. By your fruits you will know them. Amen? I've been in churches before where you couldn't feel the fire of the presence of God enough to warm a jigger's feet. Amen? I've been there. I know. I've preached it. I mean, you and anybody that's ever been in a church, you know what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God, Ichabod, has left. The glory of God has left them. There may have been churches years ago where the power of God was in those churches, and altars were being filled, and people were being saved, and testimonies were being given, and hands were being lifted. But praise God, nothing's lifted now except the own humanness that they have in there. And I'm here to tell you, the glory of God has left when the intentions of never, and he's coming with the intentions of him never coming back. You're saying, well, preacher, that's pretty strong. Listen to me, it'll take a miracle. Lead him, I tell him right, it'll take a miracle for God to come back again one day. Because you know what? They said we're just satisfied the way that we are. We're sad. That's why only a handful of people are going to some of these churches. That's why I know whenever gets saved at these churches. Brother, it takes the power of God to save. You don't save yourself. You don't go to an altar and say, well, I'm just going to die. I'm going to right now just going to make a thing. I'm going to do better the rest of my life. Brother, you're not going to do better unless the Spirit of God comes into your life. They'll never get saved at them. That's why nobody's excited. It's because somewhere along the lines, that nation, those denominations, and those churches have decided it's better to do things on their own than it is to do things the way God wants it to be done. Amen? They decided the truth didn't matter anymore. That's what they've decided. They've decided that the truth of God's word didn't matter anymore. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. They lost the power of God. They lost it. When a denomination or church gets to that point, I'm here to tell you this morning, and they don't want sound preaching, they don't want sound teaching, they don't want sound doctrine, they don't want to mind the Spirit of God. Jesus is gone. That church or that denomination is dead, and it will take a miracle to revive it again someday. Jesus is gone. I found out when folks don't like truth, amen or oh my, they will find fault with everything said and done in that church. Amen? They will. They'll find fault with everything. Everything that's going on. Makes no difference how positive it may be. It makes no difference how much love there's being preached with it. It makes no difference how much encouragement it is. We find out with the sermon Jesus just preached to those people. He was encouraging them. He was loving on them. He was trying to lead them in the past. But they got mad because they didn't like something that was said. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, if you don't like the sermon, he said, just eat the meat and spit out the bones. He said that a long time ago. I remember a preacher saying that one time, a long time. When Ichabod comes over a church or a denomination, nothing can help except they fall on their face and they repent. And it's got to be true repentance. Amen? True repentance. True repentance from the heart. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without what? Remedy. You see that? Isn't that pretty sad? A person can keep rejecting the Spirit of God. Amen? They can keep rejecting it all they want to, Greg. They can keep on right on rejecting it all that they want. You're free moral agent, as we like to say. You're free to do what you want to. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time you keep on rejecting with that hard heart and that stiff neck, and one of these days it's going to be without remedy. He's gone. He's not coming back no more. The Spirit's not coming back by. No matter how much you cry out, it's not coming back. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to a church where God doesn't even go. Amen? I don't want to be at a church where God's not at. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want to be there. I'll tell you something else. You can go and dig up every grave in Israel today. I'm going to tell you, I want to get to this point here. And you won't find Jesus. Amen? You won't find him. You can go over there and dig up every one of them. He's already gone. What? He ain't coming back. Right? He's not coming back like that. Hebrews 7:26-27. For such a high priest, because us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, then for the people, for this he did what? He did it once. He's not dying on the cross no more for your sins. He did it once when he offered up himself. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. I say, praise the Lord. They hung him on a cross. One of these days, he's coming back as a victorious Savior one of these days. He's gone now, but he's coming back as a victorious Savior. He's not coming back here to die on a cross no more. They're not going to hang him on a cross no more. That's not going to happen. He's coming back, and he is going to come back to get his people out of this world. Praise his name. I am waiting for that. When the woman went into the sepulcher, They were going to anoint his body. When they got there, what was it? He was gone. He's already gone. Amen? And that wasn't coming, and he wasn't coming back in that way. Luke 24, 5, 6 says this. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And I want to stop right there. If you're going to a dead church, a dead denomination, you're not going to find the living there. Amen? You're not going to find it there. This is not trying to be hypocritical of everything. I'm just here to tell you, we are getting too close to this thing coming to an end, wrapping this thing up one of these days. It is time the people of the Lord, the people of God, say so. It's time we stand up. It's time that we let the Spirit of God move in us. And praise God, He is not among the... You're not going to find the living among the dead. Praise His name this morning. I praise God. Whenever the Spirit of God convicts you, whenever it comes upon your life, and a church is full of the Spirit, and the Spirit is moving, praise God, move in. Get to the altar when you're doing it. Don't go to a dead church and be part of a dead conference. Go seek ye the living among... Don't go seeking the living among the dead. It ain't going to happen. Praise the Lord. If you go to a graveyard, all that you're going to find is the dead. Amen? God doesn't hang out in a graveyard. Amen. The Spirit's not in the graveyard. Jesus isn't in the graveyard. Revelation tells us what kind of atmosphere God likes. I want you to listen to it. Revelation says this, and the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed with white robes? Whence came they? And they said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have their robes washed, their robes made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they stand before the throne of God and serve Him day and night, His temple. And they that set us on the throne shall dwell among them. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of praising going on in heaven. There's a lot of praising going on in heaven. And if you don't like praising, praise God, I'll tell you what, you don't want to go to heaven one of these days, because they're going to be praising, they're going to be singing, they're going to be shouting, they're going to be all that stuff in heaven up there. It's not going to be quiet. Matter of fact, I think my Bible tells me it sounds like great thunder rolling all the time because of the praise that's going to be happening. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us about the 10 virgins. We know this story. Five were wise and five were foolish. And while they were going to purchase, remember this? Remember, while the groom is coming, well, the foolish ones, they let their oil, their lamps run out, and they were going to go try to find some more oil. And he opened the door, and the five wise virgins entered in. The Bible says this, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for we know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The foolish virgins were saying, now we're ready. You know that? Now I want you to get this. Now come back and get us. We're ready now. But the Bible says he's gone and he ain't coming back. The bridegroom's gone. He'd already come. He took the ones that were the wise ones. The Lord's coming back for those that are ready. Can I have an amen? Amen. For those that are ready. He's coming back for those that are prepared. He's coming back for those that made the right preparations. Am I right on that? He's coming back for those that done that. He's coming back for those whose lamps are trimmed and burning. Now, how about you this morning? Is your lamp trimmed and burning this morning? Is it? He's coming for those looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's who He's coming back for. Are you looking forward to that this morning? Or are you just sitting back, well, whatever happens. No, I'm looking forward every day. Every morning, every afternoon, I'm looking towards the eastern sky because I believe it is time, it is due for Him if He can come back anytime now. And after Jesus comes and takes His people out of this world, you're going to try everything in your power. You're going to be like His foolish virgins. You're going to try everything in your power. You're going to call upon God. You're going to try to go to church. I honestly believe, this is Dave Long speaking, the day after the rapture, these churches will be full. Why? Come back and get us, Lord. We're ready now. He's already gone. He's already gone. I believe the people that hadn't picked up a Bible in years, the day after the rapture, they're going to be having their nose dug right in it. Lord, we're ready now. Nope. And I believe that there are going to be people that are going to be on their knees at their house, and there are going to be people that's going to be on their knees at this church praying, and they're going to be praying harder than they've ever prayed in their life. Too late. Too late. He's already gone. There's a problem. There's a problem with that. And I tell you this, He's already gone. He ain't coming back. He's come to get His church. He's already gotten it. The door is shut. You've been left behind. You're like the foolish virgins who are going to be saying here one of these days, you're going to be saying to yourself, listen, I'm ready now, Lord. I'm ready for You to take me now. It's too late. It's too late. And I'm not going to tell you here this morning, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm giddy about that I'm happy about that. That breaks my heart as a preacher of God, standing up here week after week trying to see people, make sure that they're ready to go and make sure that you're 100% sure that Jesus lives in your heart. The day after the rapture, that would break my heart. You waited too long. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him. Now get this. But I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. You do realize when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's going to be withdrawn. That's right. Amen. You understand that? After that, during that tribulation period, there are going to be people coming out of the tribulation. But you're going to be doing it just like you lived under the law. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit will not be here. That's what draws us. If Jesus were to come back tomorrow about this, I believe that one of the biggest torments in hell, and I've said this before, one of the biggest torments in hell will be you will replay those salvation sermons week, day, hour after hour, where somebody has told you you needed to have Jesus in your heart. You needed to be right. And you're going to be hearing that in hell constantly amongst all the torment. Because you know what, brothers and sisters? You know today whether or not you're right. You know that. You shoved him aside. It wasn't me shoving you. It wasn't nobody in this church pushing you away from it. You shoved him aside. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this, because they received not the love of truth that they might be saved. And I want you to look at that. Listen, for this cause God gave them, send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's a lot of people that have a lot of pleasure out there in unrighteousness today, right? The truth. I believe the gospel will hit every ear before they go out. Before someone dies and goes out of this life, I believe they will hear gospel upon their ears that says that they need to be saved. He's gone. If you're like this, he's gone and he ain't coming back. My beloved's gone and he ain't coming back. Listen to me, sinners. You better Get saved while you can. Amen? Amen. Don't think that you're ready. Make sure that you're ready. Amen. Absolutely. Positively. You can know if you're saved. Can I have a big amen to that, Christians? Amen. You can know if you're saved this morning. The Spirit of God should be pumping through your veins. You should know. Your spirit should bear witness with other people's spirit. And if it does not have that, I beg you not to walk to this altar. I beg you to run to this altar this morning. I believe that there are ordained times for individuals' lives when God calls them. There are ordained times in individuals' lives when God calls you. I was a young teenager, and God knocked on my heart, and I felt it, and I answered the call. And there's other people in here who can tell you the same thing. I got saved. Have I been perfect? Absolutely not. My family can tell you that. But praise God, I am thank the Lord that I serve a good God. I believe I can show you that biblically. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him, what? While he is near. While he is near. That's when you need to call upon him. Amen? That's when you need to call upon him. There may be a time when he seeks you. There may be a time when he seeks you, and you seek him, and he can't be found. There may be a time when you call upon him, and he's not near. Let's read the text again. I sought him, but I could not find him. She was really seeking for him diligently. Do you know that? After that, after he knocked on the door and after he came and everything, she was seeking for him diligently then, but it was too late. He's already gone. But she says, I can't find him. She says, I call upon him, but he won't answer me. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and ye refused. Now listen, I have stretched out my hand, no man regardeth. Then in verse 28 and 31 says this, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's pretty sad to me. Guys, that's really sad that somebody would get to that point, but there's millions of them out there like that today. You must call upon the Lord when your soul is troubled. You call upon him then. I'll tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning lost, and I don't know anybody's heart in here, I don't look around and judge. I don't do that. That's God. I let God do that. I just try to preach the word. I'll tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning lost, if the Lord deals with you and you don't respond, I'm going to tell you something. You're a fool. You're a fool. There are billions of people in this world today, and the sad part of it is billions of people. Few of them have ever heard or will ever answer the call of God on their life, and I believe God will call upon their lives. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and it tells me these are sad words. Few there be that find that. Very few. If you're born again Christian here this morning, you need to be praising God from the moment you get up in the morning till you go to sleep. Because I'm here to tell you, you're one of the few. They talk about the Marines being the few, the proud. Brothers and sisters, we are the few. I had a preacher tell a story one time. It was about, he was preaching revival. It was down in North Carolina. When he went into that revival, he was preaching, and there was a guy that came in there. He called him Mountain Man. That's all he knew his name by. And he said that man would come to every revival service that preacher preached. He said, and he preached many of them down that area down through the years. He was an evangelist. He said that man would come every time. And then one time after a service, he said he'd come up to him. He said, he He said, "Preacher," he said, "years ago, the Lord dealt with me. And he said, I walked out of that church. And he said, I never got saved. And he said, and I come to revival after revival after revival, hoping that the Lord will deal with me again." And he said that the Lord has never dealt with him. He said he knew this God for 10 to 15 years. He knew this God, and he'd come to revivals after revival. He said he never did know that man ever to get saved. The Lord had went his way, knocked on his heart, and he refused it. And it was without remedy. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's a sad charge to put to anybody. But I'm here to tell you, my beloved has come. He's gone. He's gone. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. Now look at that. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. How does he draw him? Read on, it talks about the Holy Spirit's the one that draws. Let me ask you those here this morning, sitting back there, is God dealing with you this morning? Is he dealing with you this morning? Don't wait till he's gone. Don't wait. Don't take a chance on this being the last time. Because this could be the last time, and he's gone, and he ain't coming back your way no more. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you read that Bible, and you say, "Well, Dave, that's pretty harsh." Now, I don't know when that last time is. He may deal with you 2 or 3 times, but there's going to come a time he's not going to deal with you no more. And once that conviction is gone, there's not a preacher in this world that can preach it back on you. Amen? What if he never comes back again? What if he's gone and he's not coming back? And your destiny and your eternity's hell. For this preacher, that's sad. That's sad. Praise God this morning that we're still living in the day of grace. We're going to have him come up here and get a song. They come and get a song. We're still in the day of grace today. And he still could be knocking at your heart. And if he is, and I say this a lot, and everybody said this, if you ever look at the picture of Jesus standing at the door, he said, "I stand at the door and knock." There's no doorknob on the outside of that door. Notice that picture. Why is that? Because you've got to be the one to open the door.